up to me, say, this is God's word. I am who it says I am. Come on, say it like you mean it. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. My what? My eyes are open. My heart is receiving. And whatever else he says, in Jesus' name, amen. I'll get it right second service. Praise the Lord. You may be seated here in the presence of the Lord. I know. I done got up here and forgot. It's all right. I get a redo. Second service. My heart is fixed. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. Look at your neighbor and say, he got it now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. You know, a merry heart doeth like medicine. Amen. And so, for many of you that have been coming, how many of you have been coming for the last 3 weeks? Last 3 weeks. Raise your hand real high. Real high. Been coming the last 3 weeks. Well, pastors in a series called the Fivefold Gifts. And I have the auspicious task to actually talk about one of those gifts today. But Pastor gave us an example of his hand. And for those of you that remember, the thumb was the apostle. The thumb was the apostle. And I'm kind of reviewing for those of you that are visiting for the first time, for those of you that are watching through the lens. The thumb is the apostle. Lays the foundation. The pointing finger is the prophet. See, y'all been learning. The pointing finger is the prophet, declares the message of God. The middle finger. Yes, the middle finger, the longest one, is the what? It's the evangelist, spreading the gospel, getting people saved. Encouraging them to come to church. New convert. Someone that needs to learn how to grow in Christ. And so if you would put Ephesians 4:11 through 13, the NLT version, it says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Who gave?
Christ.
Come on, class. Who gave?
Christ
gave to the church. The apostle. The prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, Pastor has given us, the goal of this series has three parts. How many parts?
Three
parts. The first part in that goal is to grow in the knowledge of God. To grow in the second part of the goal is to grow in the understanding of the fivefold. And then the third one I want to spend just a little time. The third one is get in position to be equipped by the fivefold. Now, if we look at that third part, everybody say third part. If we look at that third part, get in position. Now that'll preach all by itself. Because what happens when you're not in position? That's a great question. What happens when you're not in position? You compromise growing in the knowledge of the fivefold. When you're not in position, you compromise growing in the understanding of the fivefold. When you're not in position, just let me go a little deeper because we understand that the Bible is full of principles, protocols, and promises. What did I say? Principles, protocols, and promises. When you're not in position, You risk the chance of not being exposed to the principle. When you're not in position, you risk not activating the protocol or the steps involved. And when you're not in position, you have difficulty attaining the promise. Look at your neighbor and say, get in position. Look at your other neighbor and say, I said, get in position. Oh, y'all said that with some chess. But if you look at the rest of that, once again, it's, the third part is get in position to be equipped. To be equipped to be a form of being, something that you're doing continuously. See, to be equipped is not an event. It's a process. That word process means a series of steps to attain a certain goal. Now, I looked up the word equip in the Greek in its katartismos. Katartismos. I practiced that one, y'all. Katartismos. It means to restore. It means to complete. It means to prepare for a purpose. Now, many of us, we repeat Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Many of us stop at that part. We know all things work together for good. See, when you're going through something, this is what we say. We know all things are going to work together for good. See, when you're going through a tumultuous time, you want to say, all things are going to work together for my good. But we got to read the rest of that sentence. We got to read the rest of that verse. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. And are called according to his purpose. See, some of us are quoting that scripture, and we're not called to his purpose. Many of us are using that scripture, and we don't love God. So the goal, that third part, the goal is not to sit in church equipped, but to be sent from church equipped. I'll say that one more time. The goal is not to sit in church equipped, but is to be sent from the church equipped. See, the church across the street, now I don't know if this the sign is still there, but I say this oftentimes in the second class, Maturity 201, when it comes to our ETV class, our experience in the vision, I say this all the time. They used to have a sign as you're driving out the driveway, and it says, you are now entering the mission field. You are now entering the mission field. So now, let's circle our wagon around that fourth gift. Everybody say fourth gift. See, we know the apostle. We know the prophet. We know the evangelist. And now, today, we're going to circle our wagon around the pastor. The pastor. What is a pastor? That brings me to my first point. A pastor. See, I grew up Baptist. Any Baptists in the house? Any Baptists? Okay, yeah, a lot of y'all Baptists. I grew up Baptist. And, you know, as I was growing up, I mostly saw my pastor back then. He preached on Sunday. Uh-huh. He preached at the 11 o'clock. Preached at the 3 o'clock. And the 6 or 7 o'clock. I knew that he would marry people. He would eulogize people. And every now and again, because my dad was a deacon, I would hear him say, are you going to pray for somebody at their house? But see, a pastor is more than a person that just preaches, eulogizes, marries, and prays for people. Y'all can say amen to that. See, a pastor is mentioned 9 times in the Old Testament. 9 times, primarily in Jeremiah, and only one time. The word pastor is only mentioned one time in the New Testament. And it's found in that Ephesians 4 verse. However, in both the Old and the New Testament, the word pastor is translated as shepherd. Shepherd. See, pastor is the Latin word for shepherd. The Greek word is called poimen, which is translated as shepherd. So whenever you see the word pastor, you should think of shepherd. In John 10:10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Isaiah 40:1 says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. And many of us, if you've ever gone to vacation Bible school, if you've gone to Sunday school, many of us have heard that Psalms 23, that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, you got to ask yourself, why does God call himself a shepherd? Why not a goatherder? Why not a swine herder? He calls himself a shepherd. And what do we know about shepherds? They shepherd or herd what? They herd sheep. We're not talking about a cowboy. We're talking about a shepherd. And then if God is our shepherd, there has to be something metaphorically about sheep. Sheep have intelligence, but they do some dumb stuff. I'm going to say that again. Sheep have intelligence, but they do some dumb stuff. Sheep have strong flocking instincts. They feel safe in groups and are highly stressed when they're isolated. Sheep have strong follower behavior. Sheep are natural followers. And if a sheep moves, typically the whole herd moves. Sheep have a tendency to be directionless. Sheep have a tendency to be defenseless. See, what ends up happening is that I was reading, as I was studying for this, I was reading somewhere in New Zealand that the shepherds decided to take lunch. And all the sheep started wandering. They started wandering. And at the end of the day, one sheep got to an edge of a cliff and kept going. All 1,400 of the other sheep followed that one sheep over the ledge. Now, I said sheep have intelligence, but sheep do some dumb stuff. Those shepherds lost $74,000 because the sheep wandered over the ledge. When you think about it, metaphorically, we are the sheep. We are sheep. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever done some dumb stuff? Okay, y'all said that, start smiling like, I did some dumb stuff. As a matter of fact, I can remember growing up, and when I did something wrong, my mom or my grandmother said, why did you do that? Because in her mind, it was dumb. Why did you do that? I said, well, everybody else was doing it. Anybody ever been there before? Anybody had a parent or a grandparent ask you that same question? Why did you do? And then here was the classic response. Well, if everybody jumped off the building, would you jump off the building with them? You know why we were asked that question? Because sheep have a strong tendency to follow. Psalms 103 says this, know that the Lord is God, It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Some of us have gotten into situations where we've lost our way, directionless. We've got involved in stuff that we knew better to get involved in. Sheep. We have actually, as Paul said, I know what to do, but the thing I want to do, I don't do. Anybody been there? Sheep. Look at your neighbor and say, bad, bad. Bad, bad. Bad, bad. In some situations, you've been defenseless. Well, Sharp, how am I defenseless? Because I take taekwondo, I lift weights. See, what happens is that there are things that you've gotten involved in and you've opened a door. You've opened a door in your life. And then what ends up happening is the thing that you don't want to do. When Tyrone calls, you looking at it shaking. Or when Tyrone sends you that WYD, is that right? Is that right? Is that right? Because I'm married and my wife don't speak in WYD. She will put, what are you doing? Question mark. But when you see Tyrone WYD, you start. And then you say, I just can't help myself. Defenseless. You've done some dumb stuff. You've been directionless. How many of you, if you could talk to your younger self, what would you say to your younger self? Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't talk to him. Don't talk to her. Don't buy that car because you're going to get into debt. So we've done some dumb stuff. We've been directionless. And we've been defenseless. But here's the beauty of God. In Jeremiah 3:15, it says, and I will give you pastors according to mine own heart. God is saying that he will give us shepherds that model Christ-like behavior. You need to evaluate your pastor. I'm talking to people that are not members of this church watching through the lens. You need to see if he models God-like behavior. And I can testify to the fact that Pastor Evan Connor lives a Christ-like life. I can testify that the pastor of this house is full of faith. The pastor carries God's heart towards his people. My point number two, the pastor is God's anointed and appointed shepherd. Psalm 78, 71 and 2, it says, he took David from tending ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants. God's own people, he cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Acts 20 and 28 says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Pastoring is not man's invention. It's God's idea. A pastor is not just a preacher. They are God's appointed shepherd. Listen, many people are gifted to preach, but not every preacher is called to pastor. Say that one more time. There are many people gifted to preach. Yeah. But not every preacher is called to pastor. See, there's a difference between preaching and feeding. There's a difference between preaching and feeding. See, preaching informs us, fills our mind. Feeding transforms us, strengthens the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. And if you think about what Pastor Eben is trying to do with our next phase, our building is going to be in three phases: spirit, soul, and body. Now, I didn't give them this scripture in the back. Find John 21:14-17. John 21:14-17, because listen, if the information doesn't turn into application, then there's no transformation. I'm going to say that one more time. If the information doesn't turn into application, then it will not be transformation, which means that there's no manifestation. Now, as they find John 21:14-17, and I can look it up here right real quick. John, there. It says here, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead." Next verse. "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He said unto him, 'Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said, 'Feed my lambs.'" Next verse. In verse 17, it says, verse 16, it says, "He said unto him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He said unto him, 'Yes, Lord, thou knowest I love thee.' He said, 'Feed my sheep.'" Last one said, "He said unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, you know all things. Thou knowest I love thee.' Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Let's go back. The first time he said, "Feed my lambs." Then the second time he said, "Feed my sheep." And then the third time he said, "Feed my sheep." See, a pastor understands that everybody in the congregation is not on the same level. Some of us are lambs, and he has to talk to us in lamb talk, which means that many of us that are lambs, we don't need to know the Hebrew, the Greek, the Latin. You just need to know that it's the word of God. But then when you get to the second sheep, those are the young adult sheep. Then you get to the third sheep, those are the adult sheep, the more mature sheep. But at the end of the day, a pastor knows to feed them so they can transform from being a lamb to a young adult to being mature. And so at the end of the day, you got to understand that there's a difference between preaching and feeding. Must be careful in this day and time. There are a lot of self-proclaimed pastors. Self-proclaimed. Preachers posing as pastors. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says this: "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For a time will come when they," who are the they? The sheep, "will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and be turned into fables." So many of us will say to ourselves, "Well, I'm not growing in that church." And then we'll get on the internet and we'll find somebody and call that person our pastor. And when you get on the internet and start finding other pastors, then you've polluted yourself. And so at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you understand that if it's worth mentioning again, if the pastor or any of the fivefold is not connected to a church, they are not a gift to the church. If they're not connected to a church, then they are not a gift to the church. I know this is a hard word for some of y'all this morning, but at the end of the day, you got to understand God loves you. And God wants you to sit somewhere where you can be taught and that you can grow and that you can be equipped for his purposes. Here's my point number three, and I'm coming to a close. The role of a pastor. Why does God give us pastors? See, I want you to understand, you didn't just stumble into this house. I'm going to say that one more time. You didn't just stumble into the. If you're a member today, or if you're watching through the lens today, then it's not happenstance that you're sitting under this leadership. You didn't choose a church. God chose a shepherd for you. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And when you hear the voice of God coming through the pastor, then that's the place for you. If God gives pastors, that means that pastoring is intentional, it's strategic, and it's purposeful. Now, here's a take-home statement. You need to be pastored on purpose for purpose. You need to be pastored on purpose for purpose. I have 6 points under this one point. God gives us pastors for your heart. In Jeremiah 3:15, it says, pastors come from God's heart. That means when God sends you a pastor, he's sending you a piece of his heart wrapped in human flesh. Because the pastor isn't just a preacher. They are God's emotional expression toward his people. They love when you're weak. They correct when you drift. They carry you in prayer when you can't carry yourself. A pastor guards your heart from deception, bitterness, confusion, and sin. Why? Why do we need a pastor? Because our hearts can lie to us. Our emotions can mislead us. Our feelings can blind us. But God gives us someone with his heart to keep our hearts aligned. You're a pastor on purpose so that your heart can stay healthy. God gives us pastors for our growth. Ephesians 11:12 says, God gave pastors to equip the saints, to build the body of Christ until we all come into the fullness of Christ. That means maturity requires a pastor. You don't grow accidentally. You grow intentionally. Pastors pull you out of immaturity and pushes you into discipline. Your pastor stretches your understanding. Your pastor sharpens your discernment. Why do we need a pastor? Because you can't discipline yourself. You cannot even disciple yourself, because self-discipleship leads to self-destruction. Self-discipleship leads to self-deception. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. So self-guidance without spiritual oversight feels good, but it leads to destruction. You are pastored on purpose so God can reach everything he intended in you, so you can be that person he intended you to be. God gives pastors for our protection. Acts 20:28 tells pastors to watch over the flock. They guard, they shield, they intercede. A pastor sees danger before you do. A pastor senses spiritual shifts you're unaware of. A pastor is a watchman, calling out the enemy's strategy before it hits your household. Why do we need a pastor? Because sheep without a shepherd are vulnerable. You are pastored on purpose so you can protect, or you can stay protected in a spiritual world that you cannot always see. Lastly, God gives pastors for accountability. Hebrews 13:17 says, pastors watch Watch for your souls. Everybody wants encouragement. Everybody wants prophecy. Everybody wants blessing. But do we want accountability? That's the hard part right there, because that's when real maturity shows up. A pastor keeps you stable. A pastor keeps you grounded. A pastor keeps you aligned, and a pastor helps you walk upright. Why do we need a pastor? Because without accountability, spiritual giftedness becomes spiritual recklessness. I'll say that one more time. Because without accountability, spiritual giftedness becomes spiritual recklessness. Now, when it comes to accountability, the pastor has the authority to have delegated authority. I'm going to say that one more time. The pastor has the authority to have delegated authority. Put Numbers 11, 16 through 17 from the NIV version up on the screen for me. Numbers 11, 16 and 17 on the screen. Because at the end of the day, when you have delegated authority, they speak as the pastor speaks. And many of us don't understand that. That's why we try to bypass the delegated authority to get to the pastor. It says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of the Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, and they may stand there with you. Next verse. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to do this alone. And so here at Word of Truth Family Church, we have our senior pastor, and the church said amen. We have our senior pastor, and then we have our executive pastors, and the church said amen. And then we have our lay pastors. And so if God took Moses' spirit and laid it on those elders, those leaders, so that they are delegated now to help Moses, Pastor Eben has taken some of his spirit and laid it on his pastors so that they can help him manage the flock. So why do you need to be pastored on purpose? See, you didn't choose this church. You were placed here. The Bible says those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. There was something about the word of God coming from the mouthpiece of God that drew you here. So now you need to understand you need to be shepherded. And as a result of being shepherded, you didn't pick a pastor. God assigned him. You didn't happen upon covering. God ordained it. And when you recognize that you're pastored on purpose, you stop resisting, you stop running, you stop fighting, and you start receiving. Did y'all get something from this message today? Need someone.